Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall. To my right,
Andrew McKinley.
And to his right, Brett Welty.
Bryce Armstrong. We all moved.
My facial hair fell off.
We fear change.
Yes, we do.
I don't. I love change. This room has changed how many times since we started?
I'll say a million.
Change in his pockets.
Oh, yeah. I don't like change. But
Yeah, we've not that kind of change.
It's been a while.
Jingle everywhere.
It's been a little bit.
It's been a while.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's reasons for that.
Mostly me.
Maybe we'll get into it. Who knows?
Maybe we'll get into it.
We might talk about it.
Hey, well, how about Bryce? How
I feel
you
like
doing?
I'm 75.
How have I been doing?
Yeah.
Up until yesterday, I was fine.
Yeah. Sure.
10 o'clock last night was awful. We ended up calling 911 because Maverick stopped breathing. So that was terrifying. He went to the hospital in an ambulance, and it was not fun.
He's doing good now, though.
He's good.
In an ambulance? I didn't know that part.
Yeah,
I didn't know that part.
He went in an ambulance. Yep.
Oh wow,
that's wild.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. I didn't like it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Were you able to ride?
Imagine. Becca rode. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't ride.
Well, someone did. That's good.
Yeah. She did, but
someone has to bring a vehicle to the hospital.
Yeah, I drove there.
Home with.
But when you go to the hospital in an ambulance, you don't have to wait in the waiting room, and you don't have to wear a mask. So like that was cool.
It's like a hospital fast pass,
dude. It was
fast
nice.
Pass. And $6,000 later, you're in.
Insurance, man. Yeah, it's fine.
Thanks, Iowa.
Someone's paying it.
You're paying for it.
I'm paying for my own.
I did this.
He's my nephew, so I feel okay about that.
Yeah,
I'm good.
It's pretty dope.
Mm-hmm. I like him. I'll pay for it.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah, he's doing good now, though. As far as we can tell, there's so many theories, but we got no answers. Hey, Brett, how are you?
How am I? Let me see. How am I? Well, I'm not riding an ambulance bad, which is good, not to make light of something serious, but let's see, what is going on? Nothing. I got nothing new going on.
What?
we're actually
nothing?
For those listening that don't know us, we're expecting our fifth child in October, so we are getting ready for that in short order. We realized we have nothing. Because all of our stuff after 4 kids was ratty, and we threw it away. So we're going to have to, buy everything. But again, after kid 5, you kind of know what you don't need and what you do need. So there's that. Other than that, life's good. Life's busy. The days are long, but the weeks are short, I always say, and it just seems to be. I heard some guy say that one time. It feels to be true. So
checks out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Andrew McKinley, how are you doing?
Hey. Mm. So is this technically, our first recording since I've been back?
Yes.
I forget for sure because my memory's awful. But yes. So I'm finally getting out of that back from vacation haze, and getting back to normal.
I never run out of that.
My tan is fading finally.
Come on.
You know how many days I had to spend indoors to get rid of this nasty stuff? But I'm back to normal. I feel awkward at the edge of the table here. I have no idea like where to put my hands and stuff without breaking everything.
Don't break anything.
I don't think you're breaking anything.
I'm going to break everything.
Hobby Lobby, baby.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, there's a lot in this room.
There's a lot of
Hobby, there's a lot of Hobby Lobby in this room.
I told you.
We are basically a commercial.
Mm-hmm. Hobby Lobby.
We're like old 50s style product placement.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm
Coca-Cola.
I'm doing good. Just back to normal. What about you?
Me? Well, I mean, since we last recorded, I've been sick twice.
What else is new, dude? You get sick all the time.
This is like the weirdest year. Ever since I started coming to Morningside Baptist, I've just been getting sick all the time.
That's the keep devil. Trying the
medium rare chicken.
That could be too. I've just been getting sick a little bit more. So hopefully since springtime is coming forth, I won't have to worry about sickness. But you know what? I'm probably a nuclear bomb on the inside waiting to explode. So anyways.
Sounds like an elaborate fart joke.
Just so everyone knows, this is water.
It does look like... It should be. It looks like those glasses should have something brown in them instead.
This is water.
We drink
and
water.
Coffee. Anyways, let's get on to the famed section of our whole podcast. It's our opening monologue of Would You Rather.
Ooh.
And I found 250 Would You Rather questions that we're not going to answer all.
Okay.
But we're going to answer a couple of them, at least.
Give me a tough one.
Would you rather be in jail for 5 years or be in a coma for a decade?
What am I in jail for and what kind of jail?
Am I in gen pop?
Yeah. Am I in a white...
See, I watch Law and Order.
Am I in a white collar prison? Am I in...
Or the other kind?
Yeah. There's,
like
there's...
That's for like money
club
laundering.
Fed.
Yeah. Which prison am I in? Because that depends on my answer.
Oops, sorry.
A coma. I'm picking a coma.
I would rather be in jail, but a grandma jail.
Who did not see that
you
coming?
Get shanked with
I did
needles.
Not see that coming. I don't know why.
Because we get
why,
kittens and outdoor time.
So. We don't get outdoors time, Michael.
You know what? You're all going to get outdoors.
Michael, how come we don't get outdoors time?
Why, you think jail's better?
How big is your TV in your jail cell? Oh, bigger than that one. You guys look...
I can stand here and watch TV for hours.
Oh, man.
This is for us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're enjoying this.
You said,
and this
you
is
said
not
jail?
For our viewers.
Or
I would do jail. Comma. I would definitely take jail.
I think
seriously?
It would
depend.
I would,
because my kids could visit. My wife could visit. Mm. You know, I'm thinking more about my family at that point.
If I'm being selfish, I would go with coma because it's just you just probably don't experience most of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I'm thinking of others, which I hope I would do, I would go with jail and have the shorter time away from family.
I'm picking coma. I'm sorry.
What's,
no, call me selfish.
What, don't say hard disease. What's sorry to your wife? Huh?
What's the worst thing about jail, Michael? The Dementors, they're coming to suck out your soul and it hurts.
What are you in for, prison, Mike?
Oh, I never got caught.
Are you in prison, Mike?
Anyways.
Oh.
All right. Would you rather be chronically underdressed or overdressed?
Overdressed.
Under.
By a long
over.
Shot. Over.
Underdressed.
Andrew,
you're really conflicted?
There's a war between... my modesty and how hot I get all the time in my heart right now. I don't know, man.
What if it's like Nike Dry Fit type suit?
Yuck.
So it like wicks the sweat away
I think
and
you're making
cool.
This up.
No, I mean,
I don't know if they do.
Apparently this dude makes money moves.
I said, what if it's like that?
Dave Ramsey would
custom,
have to try that
baby.
Suit.
I feel like I have not yet found a piece of clothing I can't be too warm in.
It's true.
All right. So have you ever worn Dry Fit?
No, but challenge accepted.
I'm just saying.
I'll show you Dry Fit.
I will walk back sweaty.
Here's $40. Gross. You need 60 more to get it.
Yeah. If Bryce is funding this experiment, I
not
would
a
be
chance.
The
not, not a chance.
Overdressed. Bylaw always overdressed.
Overdressed.
I think modesty wins out. Yeah, I'm gonna go with overdressed.
Underdressed. Mm. Underdressed every time.
I'll be sweaty.
So now I took that as like overdressed socially.
Yeah.
Not overdressed as in too many articles of clothing.
Yes.
So like I'm the guy wearing a suit to church because I'm overdressed. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
But those clothes are always too warm.
Well, that's fair. I'll give you that.
And I'm the guy wearing pajama pants to church. No, which I never do that.
Like, could underdress include disgusting. Just like shorts and a t-shirt all the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what absolutely.
I might go with underdress then.
Yeah. That's me. That's me.
I don't know.
We could just say to you all the time, read the room, dude. Yeah. Shorts again, read the room,
well,
dude.
Then, like, what happens when you show up at an event where, like, what if a bunch of people are going swimming and you have to show up underdressed to swimming? Like,
you're flexing the would you rather too hard.
That's what this is about, man.
Yeah, I didn't go there, but I will be overdressed for swimming.
Yeah, I'll do that.
The Prince of Preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, he went to the beach with a suit on. There's pictures of it. He went to the beach in a suit on vacation.
I don't know who that is, but I need to see
the most
famous
preacher in London. In like
I'd get
the,
those
during
like,
the 40s.
Like onesie, black and white stripe swimming suit for guys from like the 1800s.
Yes.
Look at here. See? Look at here. Yeah, see? Yeah. Swim.
Let me get my sucker. Yeah.
By Jove, the water's pleasant.
We're only two questions in.
Yeah. Third one. Would you rather swim in a pool of Nutella or a pool of maple syrup?
Maple syrup all day. Nutella's too close to chocolate.
Love Nutella.
Barf. Oh, yeah, you don't like chocolate.
I don't. Nutella is gross.
I would take a run and start at that Nutella and skip across.
I'm a little concerned I would die.
In either one.
In the maple syrup. I feel like I'd get stuck. I wouldn't get out.
I hate the feeling of maple syrup on my hands.
Imagine it all
over
your body.
That's true. I don't like being sticky. Nutella would be sticky too, though.
You're good with Nutella all over your hands?
It's smoother.
Get the big jar and just get in there. And this is how you. This is how you're supposed to eat
Winnie
it.
The Pooh style. Just get up in there and shovel it into your mouth. You don't need a spoon. You got two spoons at the end of your wrists.
It's like poi. It's like poi from Hawaii. Yeah, taro root.
Oh, yeah.
Because they measure it, how thick it is, by how many fingers it takes to hold some up. So, like, they got one finger poi is, like, the thick stuff. Then two finger poi is, like, it's runnier, so you got to do this to get it. Then there's three finger, and that's just messing around.
Nerd.
That's just not even cooked.
All right, one more, Brandon.
One more?
Bruh, we're already,
okay.
Like,
one more.
Almost 10 minutes into this.
All right. This is a good one. Would you rather vomit on your hero or have your hero vomit on you?
Well, hang on. Who's your hero?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have a hero, so... Because
if he's shorter than me... all day. If he's taller than me, it's coming down.
Well, my hero... Never mind.
My hero's... obviously, my hero's The Rock.
Dwayne?
I'm just kidding. I'm something the most ridiculous hero.
My hero's... Donald. For this situation, my hero will be Brett.
Puke on me all day.
Gross.
I don't.
If I have a hero.
Hero.
Who would be my hero?
That's a tough question. Don't say your dad.
Spider-Man?
What?
He's my hero.
He'd probably vomit webs.
Okay. And?
Can your hero be fake?
So is Dwayne Johnson.
It's The Rock.
He's like 90% CGI.
He's not
that's true.
I've never seen him.
It's true. Fair.
Whom is this?
I regret saying that.
Who would be my hero?
Does it got to be alive?
No.
No.
And apparently it's got to be real. Apparently the rules are out the window.
I can be
obviously
hero,
Mr. Fantastic because he's stretchy.
What is that? I mean, Plastic Man was a superior stretchy hero.
Spider-Man? Okay, for real. Who's
stretchy
your hero?
Vomit? Mom.
Did you say Muhammad?
No, I said stretchy vomit. It'd be like silly putty.
Plop, oh. Like, it's a swamp. Right back at you.
Who'd be my hero?
I can be your hero, baby.
I would have to say one of my particular...
This is going
to
be the most ridiculous thing I've ever
heard. I'm editing most of this out. It's fine.
One of my particular heroes is Jim Carrey's Grinch.
It's a good character.
So I would love him to vomit on me.
You're a weird human being.
Because it would be mixed with a hilarious amount of noise.
That's like him from Liar Liar.
I know.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. You need to be Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura 2 when he's being birthed out of the robot Rhino. That is the epitome of Jim Carrey's humor.
That is his peak moment of his career.
Right.
The fact
there.
That this has come up agreed. Twice in the last, what, 2 days, three
I know,
days?
I think I said it yesterday.
It's
agreed.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what I quoted you.
Have you never seen that scene even?
I've never seen any of that, no.
Well, look at
okay. We'll Google it later.
Once we're done with this.
Yeah, so we'll take it.
Can we pause the recording and take care of this right now?
No, it's been taken.
All righty, let's get on to our topic.
Boom.
Brett.
Oh, yeah.
Lead us off.
Sure,
yeah, baby.
So we're going to start.
On to the topic, boys.
Oh, the topics are back on the menu, boys.
It's too weird.
We're so dumb.
I love it.
The best part. Is the tens of people that will listen to this will never get any of our jokes, but they're for us.
They're for us.
They're for us.
Juicy jelly.
If you tuned in to enjoy this.
Sorry.
No. You're going to be majorly disappointed.
Brett's wife's going to be like, you guys need to stop.
Hey, guys. You know what? It's time to stop.
Sorry, my wife has standards. Your wife just won't say it to you.
My wife just doesn't listen anymore.
Her passive aggressive answer is, I don't know, I didn't hear that one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't hear that one.
Shoot. Anyways.
Here we are. So we're going to start a series of episodes on worship.
Mm. Dun, dun, dun.
And I feel like I'm the guy that has to moderate them because I'm the only one here that doesn't have any experience in the traditional sense of the word worship. I'm sitting around the table with three worship guys.
Define traditional.
Meaning, like, when someone thinks of worship, they think of somebody that is involved in the music aspect of a church service.
Yeah.
Joke's on you. I don't listen to that much Christian music.
Boom, roasted. We're going to start a series of episodes talking about worship. And we're going to start this first episode maybe in a place that some of our listeners wouldn't think is the right place to start, or they wouldn't understand where we want to start. And we want to start by having an overall theology of worship. And what we mean by that is worship more than just a service or a type of service that we have at a church, or is it something greater than that? Mm. And then we want to start this episode by answering that question, or how do we develop a more robust theology of worship? And what we mean by theology is theo meaning God. So what does God think about worship? So first, I think we should start with how do we define worship? And I think there are three typical definitions, depending on how you're using the word. Andrew, would you be willing to give us the definition of worship as a noun?
Yes. So as a noun, it's excellence of character, dignity, worth, or worthiness.
Yeah. Thank you. So worship would in that sense be the character and the worship is – how would you define that? That would be – the value of somebody, right? Or somebody worth being worshipped, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Yep. Bryce, worship as a verb?
To adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration.
Very good.
I don't know what veneration is. Veneration.
So I rip all of my quotes from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary because I think it's like the most legit dictionary, and so they have words like veneration. So if we don't know, we don't know. But Andrew knows what that word means. This is the first time in my entire life.
Context. I got a general idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It means great respect, reverence.
There you go. Yeah. Right.
Thank
so
you,
to reverence with great reverence.
So,
that's what I love about definitions. To reverence with great reverence.
Doubled.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we're also getting to this idea of the act of worship, right? So that being a verb. So when we worship, that is what that says. And then one more definition of worship. Brandon, would you take the last one?
It'd be to perform acts of adoration or to perform religious service.
Right. So I think we have so we're kind of like taking from a broad and we're bringing it down to more narrow, right? So we worship someone or something or anything really in our own lives that is worthy of a certain type of character. And then we do that by paying respect, and we can even do it through the form of formal religious services. So here's my question. The first question tonight that we're going to go around the table.
Let's do it.
Is it more than just singing? Is worship more than just singing?
Yes.
Next question.
Okay, good. Nailed it. Yes, no questions. I'm great for those.
You're so good.
Yeah. Wasn't it interesting that it would seem that the act of singing is not referenced in any one of these three definitions?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It makes me feel so much better about what worship really is.
Yeah.
Because I can't sing.
Well, that's not where I saw that sentence going. But I respect it.
Thank you.
I respect it. Yeah. Well,
I think it's interesting in like Psalm 150, it talks about, like verse 6, it just says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Right.
And that whole psalm talks about being like more like music based.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the end, it just says everything that has breath.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily like singing that we worship or we praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's just giving him adoration.
Right.
Yeah.
Over, but I do think that this whole singing thing has come in more in the last probably 100 years.
Yeah.
Since everything's a little bit more commercialized and streamlined, so mm-hmm. the church feels like it probably has to pick up the slack that it maybe had, that thought it had,
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
To sound more like the culture, mm-hmm. to reach people, reach the lost, or whatever. But a lot of times that gets to the point of almost becomes more mediocre in a way.
Mm.
It kind of loses steam and we're not actually like putting thought process and like the Bible backing our music.
Yeah.
Or our hearts.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's
which is the core of worship is God.
But if
his word.
But if you look back in the past, it was like worship was times of silence or times of prayer. Or times of being together in fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't talk, we don't really affiliate that with worship anymore.
Right.
We just affiliate music with the act of worship.
Right.
There's some I'm glad we don't do anymore, like sacrificing animals.
Yes.
You know?
Me too.
Yes.
Right.
I don't like blood.
I don't like Old Testament worship.
Scary.
Right. Well, so two texts that we can look at. So one is showing that singing is still important, so we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, and say that singing is not a part of worship. But Psalm 96, would Bryce just read the first like sentence or two? We don't have to read the whole all six verses or whatever, but Psalm 96.
Yep. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
We can stop
good.
There. I mean,
okay,
I, there's... They can look it up.
Don't go crazy.
They can look it up.
Psalm 96. Read the whole thing.
You know,
go find it.
I might throw it at the bottom. We'll see.
It sounds good.
Read the whole thing.
That sounds good. So singing is important, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't want to say it's not. Mm-hmm. But there's also other verses that say that it's more than that. Andrew, would you read Romans 12, 1 and 2?
Yeah.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, mm-hmm. that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Yeah, so now, like, when Paul writes that, like, mm-hmm. like, what is he thinking about when he thinks about worship? Well, I mean, it's more than just singing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy and acceptable.
Right, which is your spiritual worship.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems to be more robust than, say, an hour or an hour and a half once a week,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even
20 minutes at the beginning of a service.
Yeah, yeah. True. Yeah. Very true.
Or being transformed. Our mm-hmm. minds are renewed.
Right.
Which, then our whole bodies are renewed from that.
Right. So then why do we think that singing is all that comes to mind for most Christians? Like how do we get here?
Because it's emotional. Mm. It's when you start feeling things.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. But Romans 12 didn't say anything about feeling anything.
No, it didn't.
Hmm. Weird.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, continue. Andrew, what do you think?
I was also thinking that, like, that's the part of a church service that, like, they don't have any other word for.
Mm.
I think everything else can be defined one way or another. And,
what a charitable way to think.
You're such a kind. Let's do the singing.
What a bridge builder, this guy.
Please stand for the sing.
Please be standing.
Please be standing. Live on, baby. Live on.
Brett's not my hero. You're my hero.
Yes, true.
You're welcome.
And you're a much better one. For sure.
No.
Nope.
No thanks.
You're gonna get birthed on.
No, no thanks.
I don't want that bird.
No.
I don't want to be people's hero.
Right.
Pick a different hero, baby.
So when we were researching this, mm-hmm. I did find a little article from the Gospel Coalition that talked about worship a little bit. It says worship is the proper response of all moral sentient beings to God, ascribing all honor and worth to their creator God precisely because he is worthy and delightfully so. This side of the fall, human worship of God properly responds to the redemptive provisions that God has graciously made.
Hmm.
So I thought, that's probably why we put more of an emphasis on musical worship or singing worship.
Sure.
Because a lot of times, like you said, it is emotional, and I don't think we shouldn't just throw emotions out either.
Right.
Because God gave those mm-hmm. emotions.
Right.
But there's a part where it could become manipulative. Yeah. To just stir
it's not
up.
Hard.
Yeah.
To stir music, up. Music makes you feel things.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to be in church to make you feel something.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's just a universal. Yeah. It's like a universal language that breaks all barriers of language mm-hmm. and emotions. Like you could go to Brazil and Iron Maiden could show up and they could all speak Spanish, but they can sing Iron Maiden in English.
That's true.
Right.
Because that's just how music is.
And I can sing Happy Birthday in Spanish, so I get it.
There it is.
That's done. Edit.
Can you?
Can you?
Yeah. Right now?
Feliz cumpleaños. Feliz. Okay,
I'm not editing.
Well, hang on. Let me get it.
I think that's why now we put so much emphasis on music. And that's probably why we put so much emphasis on music even before modern. Like CCM, which is contemporary Christian music for all people.
Sorry.
But
CCM is your hero.
I'm going to vomit all over it.
Can I add a thought to your thought?
Yes.
Or to your
add
thought?
It on.
It's kind of getting it like we're limited and that's why we lean on music to worship. I think that music... it's easier to perceive the beauty in music than it is in just like spoken word or in acts of selflessness or devotion, because we do want our worship to be beautiful and pleasing and good. Mm-hmm. And with music, we can get that easier.
Yeah.
I think that that's a thing that,
yeah,
it's it's prettier.
I feel like I don't mean to be like, I'm not a curmudgeon. Like, The biggest book of the Bible is a song.
I love
book.
That word.
I know, but I'm just saying, like the biggest book of the Bible is a song book.
Yeah. If you love that word, spell it.
I can't. I can't spell half the words I love.
C-ker-rumudgeon.
C-ker-rumudgeonly. Yeah.
C-rumudgeonly.
So I don't want to come at this and say that we should just throw out singing either, right? I mean, I think you're right. I think there's something, and why is it that the book of Psalms just always soothes our souls? I think it's because the idea of poetry and music and the human condition all blend together in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a great thing. I think what concerns me is when we take theology or the right thoughts about God out of our Christian music and only seek an experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we will sacrifice the depth of a song to make it more aesthetically pleasing, and I think great musicians, great worship leaders thread that needle, right, and do both really well.
I agree.
Well, so if we don't want to reduce worship, how do we do it? Like, so if worship is for all of life, how do we do it? How do we worship in the different areas of our life? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God."
Yeah.
I mean, is giving God the glory basically a shorthand for worship? I mean, that's how I saw it. I mean. Do we agree on that? I guess maybe I should have asked you before I typed it.
No,
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It ties in this everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Yep. Yep. Well, let's start with the home, because I think this is a really great place to start. And I think, Brandon, you added some great stuff as we were talking through this about family worship or family devotion. So You know, take us through some of the stuff that you put in here, because this stuff is really good. I mean, the things I said were lame.
Oh, okay.
But the stuff that you said was really good.
I don't think that's true. But
well, I mean, it's boring.
No. So Family Worship is it's something that I've kind of like looked through and never really heard about until the pandemic.
Mm.
So I'll give you these questions and see like what you guys think as well. But how do we strategically do family worship? Like, do we have a specific time or a flow or do certain things during family worship? I found it to be reading scripture, prayer, singing. But I always find it hard to sing, like, with, like, just us four. Like, just, like, my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's because it's, I'm just so used to the, I'm so used to the thing of worship being at the church or, like, a show for me.
A production.
I'm going to use the word I hate. Corporate worship.
Yeah.
Ooh, like, you hate that?
Yeah.
That's good
to know. I also hate that.
It's good to know.
I
don't
hate corporate worship. I just wish there was a different word to
right.
use for
corporate
it.
Corporate makes me think of a corporation and mm. business and yeah. I don't Which feel is like what God is a business.
Or staunchiness is what I always think of with corporate.
But corporate really just means a bunch of people yeah, gathered together.
It does.
In an yeah. organized way.
But what do you guys think? If you were to do family worship at home with your family, like what would that look like for you? Let's go in this order, Bryce to Andrew.
So we just started doing something like this. So it is, we have dinner. Right now we're doing James.
Okay.
And so it's a little more difficult for us because we have that balance of we have Pierce and Layla 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that other 50%, like, how do we balance that? Like, I want them to still experience every part of what we're doing, but it's really a weird dynamic that we have. But so we're still trying to figure that out. But we read the Bible. We have a discussion about it. Actually, my sister got Becca a really cool thing from, man, what's it called?
Daily Grace Co.
Thank you, Daily Grace Co. for Christmas. And we use part of that incorporated into all of this because it's broken down enough that the kids can still understand it, but deep enough that it still benefits Becca and I. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting, really cool.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sing.
It's weird.
I'm in the same boat. I think singing is the hardest part. Of doing corporate worship or family worship. I get that word's on my brain now because I know how much you hate it. I'm going to say it. You know, so we've done, we call them devotions, family devotion. We've done them as long as we've had kids. That was just something that some of the people at our church told us would be a good idea. And so we got into that. And ours is more of reading a Bible storybook of some kind and then prayer. And usually discussion questions, so it's not super structured other than we usually do it before bed. It's usually the last thing we do before the kids go to bed is we read a story and then we pray and we take prayer requests and then we go. So it's one of those things, right, where it just seems like sometimes it feels so incredibly just mechanical or frustrating because the kids are bouncing all over the place, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when it comes to family worship with Naomi and I, we've never been the kind of couple that, like, does a Bible study together. Like, we've never, mm-hmm. like, done that. And I don't think it's...
Can I ask a question, Clark?
Sure.
How do you guys have, like, I guess, biblical conversations? Like, how... I know you like you. Live in that realm. Like,
that's
constantly.
Basically it. So basically, she'll walk up to me at any point of the day and say, "How do you think about this?"
Okay.
Or I just read this. Why is this trash? Or why is this good? And like we just like that's basically. So one of the verses that we put in this section was this Deuteronomy 6, where it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and these words I command you today be on your heart. Teach them diligently to your children when you walk, when you sit, wherever you go, wherever you lie down." So I try to live by this verse. I try to, especially with my wife and with the kids, is every moment is a moment to potentially say, how do we see God here? How do we do that? And so that's kind of more of kind of the ebb and flow of my relationship with Naomi is
cool.
is I've spent more time, you know, preparing myself to answer questions, and then they come up. Just seems like every day. Mm-hmm. You know how it is. I mean, you just look at the news. Pretty easy. Like, hey, what, you know, what do you think about this? Or, hey, I read this thing online from this guy. What do you, I mean, didn't seem right. What do you think? It's a lot of that.
Cool.
A lot of that stuff. Right. And then the kids stuff, like, we need to move into, I respect that you're doing an actual book of the Bible. That's where we're going next, is to to an actual, our kids are getting old enough now where I think we can do it.
Yeah, so. Your dynamic's even more, I mean, it's different because you have a 5-year-old. Yeah. So, like, I'm fortunate enough that I don't have a 5-year-old, so.
You will.
I will.
You will in again 5 years.
I will.
Yeah,
half a decade.
I guess in 5 years we'll both have.
Yes, hit the reset button.
Yeah,
then.
We did.
Do it all over again.
The hard reset. It's gonna be good.
Yeah. I'm so excited for you. Yeah. Anyway,
what about you, Andrew?
I think we're kind of in the same boat as Brett. We don't have an organized one. I feel like we should. It'd be good. We've tried to just start one a couple times, and then we get busy and forget, and we're lazy.
Well, we all get together a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, and you know, like our community group, like we're not. It's not like we're devoid of the Bible on Sunday.
Oh, not at all. I
mean? Yeah, but we do when something, you know, in our own personal study comes up. We do a lot of sharing that with each other, and then as far as singing, I use Brittany as the guinea pig when I'm picking the set list to make sure that it's in a key that's low enough for everyone to sing or high enough and whatever.
It's a good call,
and that ends up being kind of, you know, worship, because we'll usually go through whole songs, but
that's cool.
It's not often, but when happens, it's nice. But I mean, it'd be good to make that happen more.
Yeah.
Well, let's just take that off the table. Like, it would always be good to do everything.
Yeah, that's
just always. Yeah. That's the Christian life in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But
do it more, do it better.
Do it more often.
Yeah, do it more often. Exactly.
What do you got to say over there, big guy?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Well, I wish, like, I would like to make it a priority for my house to do it, because, like, we've always done either our own thing.
Individually?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, we're, like, Bethany and I have always been kind of, I think there was a time when we were first married that it was more of a priority to read together and all that, but through the years we've been more individualistic on that, and now that our boys are getting older, we want to steward them well and, like, point them towards the Word and towards God, and just have it like a natural flow in our home, because it just never really has been. So with me, it would just be, I would do it more, I would probably more focus on, like, prayer and devotion, or, like, reading scripture, but I probably wouldn't do music.
Which is weird, because you have the best voice out of most people that I know.
Okay. But thank you.
It's true. Thank deny you. It all you want. It's true.
I didn't deny it. I just said thank you. But
sarcastically.
But just because I've got, how do I say this way? As well. I am jaded towards leading music. So.
Huh.
I usually just try to avoid it or whatever.
Never mind.
Yeah. But definition, I found a definition for family worship. It says family worship sometimes simply can be family prayer, Bible reading, singing psalms, hymns, conducted in private homes, usually by Reformed Christians. That's the official definition. Mm-hmm. So it probably came with the Reformation.
It's been, I mean, most of the Puritans talk about doing like a before breakfast or after dinner kind of thing. It's been pretty common.
But Spurgeon has a morning.
Yeah, morning evening. And evening. Yeah, right. That's exactly what that was for.
A lot of old preachers had morning evening devotionals.
Right, right. I would say, like, so my final 2 cents on this topic is, I'm a firm believer that love of God's word and love for God is caught more than it's taught. So part of the reason why I don't get too worked up about like the form of it, and like when you guys all talk about like doing your own thing separate of your wives, like if your kids see you doing that, and if your kids know that when you talk about your Bible and you like that's the, like if you ask your kids will find you out, like you can't hide your life from your kids, and they know what you care about. They know what you like. They know you. And so if you're living a consistently biblical life and putting the devotion to God as a high priority in your life, your kids will they'll capture that. Mm-hmm. They'll pick that up.
Yeah.
And they'll catch it. And like you won't think they're listening, but they will be. And that's, I mean, for anyone listening, that's my encouragement. It's like everyone beats themselves up about family devotions because, oh, we don't sing. Or, oh, we don't do that. There's just one aspect of it that we don't do. And that's going to be the crux. And my kids are all going to apostate and run to the devil. No, like just be the same on a Monday that you are on a Sunday, and your kids will figure it out.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Yeah. It's a bigger deal than any, like, actual like little technical thing we could give.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's like, well, we should worship prayerfully, meaning that even in the home, there should be a sense of reverence and structure centered around the word and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we should worship in song, which is, I just said I don't like doing that, but I know it's good to do that. And then like singing psalms or biblically centered hymns, just anything that's pointing us back to the word to grow us more to be like Jesus. And then we should worship joyfully. Like it shouldn't be begrudgingly doing it and like out of obligation, but we should just want to praise the Father with every like with all of our lives, with every single day, and to steward our children or our wives or our families well. Because like I said, we don't want to be something outside of Sunday, like something else different outside of Sunday. Like, I think that's a big downfall of a lot of like preachers' kids, especially if their parents are way different than they are outside of church than they are inside of church. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like. That's something that turns people like kids away from even wanting to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if we're living it all the like throughout all of our lives and every little aspect, and they see us. If they see us stumble and we apologize, or if we overreact at them and like yell at them and say something that we shouldn't have said to them, and we go to them and apologize, and,
yeah,
you know,
that's a huge deal.
Yeah,
that's grace in action.
It shows the kids that hey, I mess up too.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Hey, I'm not perfect, and there's no way I could expect you to be perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's almost like grace works its way into the family dynamic.
Yeah, it definitely. Amen.
Yeah, I think for everyone who listens and all that stuff, like, sorry, did I get all that stuff?
You say all that stuff, all the goods.
Thank you. But I think anyone who listens should consider family worship. If you have a wife, kids, or if you have,
agreed.
Like, you should consider it.
If you don't like worship, you're not going to like
heaven.
Heaven. Heaven. Oh, yeah. Because that's all you're going to do.
So it's going to be a big part of it.
Like an example.
It's going to be a priority.
I would say
on
so.
The docket.
Yeah. I would say so.
I think an example for agenda. Me is I always remembered any time we stayed with my grandpa, before anyone would go to bed, he would bring us all into his room, and then he would read scripture, and then we would go around the circle and pray for each other. Mm.
That's cool.
So and he would always end it. So I always remembered that, and I'm like, wow, I'd like to do that. You know, but I just got to do it.
Yeah.
I get that. But
isn't that interesting? You remember it.
Yeah. That's like one of the key things I always remembered, and that he gave me a bedtime.
Which apparently your parents didn't.
9:30. He's like, you got to go and lay in your bed. I'm like,
9:30? That's is when Brandon, so late.
Brandon was 23, so it was really awkward.
And married.
Yeah. But no, like, yeah. So, yeah, it does matter what you do. Mm-hmm. It matters what we do.
Yeah.
Especially for kingdom work. Mm-hmm. Kingdom work is our families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Great transition. Speaking of kingdom work, what is it, you know? Can we worship at work?
Yes.
Yeah.
I work at Hobby Lobby.
You work for
the Lord's Arts and Crafts store. What are you talking about?
How about the rest of us?
I work in a liberal functioning society.
I work by myself,
aka a college.
I am in it. I work for a trucking company.
Yeah.
So I wrote this
and by yourself most of the time.
True. True. Sometimes work feels like the Old Testament city of Babylon. It can feel godless and frustrating. Many times it's unfulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And we can just feel out of place. But the New Testament tells us that how we work matters, and we should even see it as a gift from God and a way to worship him with our life. Andrew, would you give us Colossians 3, 23 and 24?
I would be happy to. I just have to find it.
It's below the paragraph that Brett just read.
Yeah. What? I was off the cuff. That was not
You're right.
I was off the cuff. I just went too far.
I went too far. I was down to 16 and 17.
Too far.
Okay. All right. Colossians 3, 23 and 24.
Please.
Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ.
Thank you. So, again, like if we're trying to expand our vision and our understanding of what worship is, how does God tell us to work? He tells us that who's our ultimate boss?
God.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
Him, the one.
So when we're mailing it in because it's tomorrow morning and I'm going to be exhausted because we're up late recording a podcast. So what, I mean, I read this. So I will tell you this. So I'll start and I want to hear what you guys think. But like this verse, when I found out it was in the Bible, it changed my life. I think I've told all of you guys privately, like, I got into trucking backwards, right? That's not like a passion project. It's not like something that I was like, man, I just, dude, I got to get in there and be in there.
I need to do
like, this is
I
like
need
my
to be
calling.
A trucker.
Yeah.
Baby Brett Welty in the backyard. Best trucking dispatcher ever.
What do you want to be? I want to be in middle management for the smallest national trucking company. Right. So, like, that just wasn't like, I'm not living the dream, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But, like, this verse really helped me understand that, like, what I did for a living, one, didn't define me, but two, how I feel about the job shouldn't determine my work ethic or how I view it.
Mm-hmm.
And that mattered to me. And then I paired that with a verse, like, out of 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. So have you ever had a bad boss? Right? I mean,
no.
So the idea there is like, what? So even if you have a bad boss.
Never.
Yeah, right. Well, we
Yay.
We could spend an entire podcast on your bad boss.
Not my current boss, if he listens.
Boss.
He's
your
amazing. Rob, you're awesome.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Thank you for the job.
That's right.
I really enjoy it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, my current boss is great too. So.
Yeah, yeah, and my boss where I work is great too, but I've had a couple of bosses in this line of work that weren't great, and so working hard and then working even if you're suffering unjustly, if you're being treated poorly because of your boss is just that way. I mean, those verses matter, right? So you take a verse like Colossians chapter 3 that talks about working for the Lord and not just for men. And then also sometimes we have bosses or people we work for that we might feel like we're suffering unjustly. So what I love about God's word is that like, it just gets it. Like that's like, there's just, as Solomon says, nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. People have hated mm-hmm. their jobs and had bad bosses forever.
Yeah.
And I've always found that to be comforting to know that like I'm not alone in what I'm feeling. I'm like, okay. Like this is common.
Oh, I had a bad day.
Yeah. Okay. So that helps.
It happens a lot.
What are all the benefits of the job that I have that I don't know that I love or whatever, right? Well, how about it provides for my family?
Yeah.
How about you can do good work for the kingdom at any place you're at?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't think about it.
Mm-mm.
You know, like I always thought, like I like put like a lot of the jobs on the back burner because someone had prophesied over me that this is your calling. You need to do this. You need to press in on this. Look at all the stereotypical language I'm using here, by the way. But it's like, like, and then it turns out that might not have been it. Like, I think God called me to, one, serve him, two, serve my wife, two, serve my family.
You just said two twice.
But sorry. You know what I'm
two
saying?
2A, 2B.
2A, 2B. They all go together.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, think about it. Like,
yeah.
Those are our basic callings. And to be a light to the world mm-hmm. around us. So if we're like slumping around, being grouchy at our jobs, and be like, I'm way better than this job, then what do you think, what kind of message do you think that sends to like non-believers that they think of us?
Right.
That we're not, like mm-hmm. that we're stereotypical stuck up Christians.
Yeah. Piece of garbage.
You know what I mean? I found a quote. You go first. I found a quote.
I was going to say, to piggyback off what you just said, there's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 that says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you.
Yeah.
So if you have the same hope as all of your coworkers, there's no difference there, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to be ready and able to give a reasoning for why our hope and what we believe in and why we function the way we do is different from those around us.
Yeah.
Why is it that this job is soul-sucking and yet you are always so joyful, right? I mean, right? Yep. You know what I'm talking about. The Lord's trinkets and knickknacks don't shelve themselves.
I have been involved in conversations where busting boxes open in the stockroom and they're like, I've never seen Andrew get angry before. Like, that's been...
I haven't either, by the way.
They will do that
I have.
With me there. And so it's like, oh, wow, I've been asking for opportunities to share with these kids, and now they're talking about, like, how does he not get angry?
Yeah.
And I get to, Jesus. Patience that comes from some...
Four weeks of not swearing in trucking, and I already had somebody in my office when I started this job and said, are you a Christian?
Seriously.
He goes, I've had a lot of bosses at this place, and none of them talk like you. 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Nice.
I mean, that's the bottom rung. Yeah. Like, okay, you just don't talk like us. Okay, that makes sense.
No, that's being in the world and not of it, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hopefully that's true.
Sure.
But what else? Bryce, what do you think about working?
Yeah.
So I actually was just having a conversation about this today with Jesus. So
Providence just isn't a town in Rhode Island.
Cotton Providence. Love that show. Anyway,
I don't even know what that means.
It's the judge that's really nice and funny. Okay. I like that guy. So most of my department is Christians, and we have conversations about Jesus quite a bit. And there are student workers that are there, and they're hearing us have conversations about Jesus. And I've had more than one opportunity to talk to these kids because they're just constantly listening to us. And they're like, what you're talking about, like, makes sense, but I don't understand it. So it's a great environment to be in, but I have to also be careful what I'm doing and what I'm saying outside of talking about Jesus, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be looked at like, well, you're just another typical Christian that says one thing and does another. So,
shoo. Yep.
What do we do when that happens? Because it's going to – look, if we're going to work in the world, it's going to happen.
We're sinful human beings.
Yeah. Still. So what do we do if we do slip up or whatever?
I mean
– depends on the situation, I guess.
You own your junk.
Yeah.
But yeah, own
and
it.
That's a tough one for people, especially in workplaces, I think, just to be like, hey, yeah, that mistake was my fault, and I know this was a team thing, but, like, let me take the heat for that one. It's right. Like – I became people's favorite manager at work because of one of those, one occurrence of that.
Really?
And, like, to be like, man, I feel sorry for you guys that that's how it's been. But, like, yeah, that's all it takes.
I've had to, like,
just own your stuff.
I say I've had to put my tail between my legs and go apologize to, like, a boss that I didn't get along with for the way I acted. Or whatever. Even though I felt justified in the way I acted, I was like, "This is not how I should react." And I've had to do that, and I'm like, and it sucked. Like, it hurt because I'm like, so stupid.
Yeah,
I'm like, and I'm proud. Like, I'm a very, very proud, stubborn man. Like, I will. Like, you have to pull. It. Like,
I don't believe it.
No, I'd rather pull, like, there's sometimes I'd rather yank my fingernails out than go apologize.
Stop.
Like, I'm not to be weird, but like.
Put the bamboo shoots under first?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, get it.
Bamboo shoots, pliers, all of it.
Then soak it all up with some cotton swabs.
Ooh. I can do that.
Just let me know when you're done. That's too far.
Let me know. Yeah.
I think they're done.
Oh, they're done. Okay, good.
But
I'm editing all that out, you nasties.
You just want to
You are required to listen to it one more time.
Yeah. I know, that's the worst part.
Yeah.
No, I'm very proud, and I'm like, I don't want to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But through God's mercy and grace, He's softening me up to be able to like apologize more and admit when I'm wrong.
Mm.
But
that's not easy. No. It's not fun.
Is it easier at work or at home?
Oh, 1A and 1B.
Neither.
Is there a beehive outside you'd like to
I'd rather apologize at work than at home. It's just being real.
That needs to be followed up with a, but I know I'm wrong.
Oh, no. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yes. I know I'm wrong. I would still, yes. But I'm more prideful in my home than I am at work. Mm. For some reason, it's stupid.
I'll say, can I say this quote?
Yeah.
Do you think it fits right where we're at?
I think it sounds great.
Okay. So this is from Josh Lee. It says, in a culture where it is getting harder and harder to decipher what reality is, the church, which claims to know the ultimate reality, should be the first place for people to look for authenticity, especially in worship. We need to be equipped with songs and prayers of lament, saturated in biblical language that acknowledge the reality of the human condition. It is simply not enough to have our worship services as merely a feel-good, happy, and optimistic pep rally when what people actually need is vocabulary and space rooted in the story of God to express their grievances and hope, which I do think complements worship at work.
Mm-hmm.
And living a worshipful life at work because of authenticity.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, if we're going to be authentic, people need to know.
I agree with that.
They need to see it in us.
I agree with you, Brandon. I think that we run the risk of, if we don't have a deep understanding and worship of worship in all of our lives, and an understanding that it's more than, like, worship is more than just being happy.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to spend, I think we should spend a whole episode, you already started working on it, but this idea of, like, how can we even worship through suffering or through, you know, like what the Old Testament called lament.
I think worshiping and even like living through suffering, like,
mm-hmm.
is not talked about enough.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, we're not prepared to suffer in a biblical manner.
Right.
We either, it's great or everything sucks and God sucks. It's like two different, it's like polar opposites. Man. Like, give glory to God when he's blessing you and he's giving you all this life and giving you all these things. But what happens when, like, people, like, when a loved one dies? Or, like, what happens when you lose everything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do? No one knows. Because we don't talk about it. We don't want to talk about suffering because it doesn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, but it's not about selling an item. It's about living a life and understanding that one of the biggest things that Jesus promised us is that we were going to suffer.
Right.
So we should take that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we? I'd love to know the question. When we get to that episode, why don't we talk about this enough?
That's great. And I think we should spend...
Well, we don't have to do it now.
Yeah. I have so many questions
and so many things that we
talk
about.
The good news is the Bible has answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, let's go.
We'll find them together.
Yes.
Oh, let's transition.
So pay attention, dear listener. Let's wrap up with this episode with the last one we have there, which is, how do we worship when we are alone? So we've kind of covered these different areas, and we're kind of jumping over whatever you would call the Sunday morning service, which is not...
You can say corporate worship
yeah, now.
Fine.
I don't know what we're going to call it. We've got to come up with
corporal worship.
Yeah, corporeal. Corporeal worship.
Corporeal.
Gathered worship.
Yeah. Togetherness.
Corpop.
So, worshiping alone. Can we worship when we are by ourselves? Many people call this a quiet time, or maybe our Bible reading.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that many of us do with some frequency, but we often don't see it as a time of worship. I know often I don't.
Mm.
A lot of times it's more of just data collecting about God because we want, you know.
Data collecting.
I mean, isn't that essentially, I mean.
Yeah.
When you look at me, do you think devotion or do you think the guy that knows where everything is? The guy where it knows where everything is, which is not healthy.
No,
right?
No, I don't think so.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you're just saying that because we're in public, but.
What I think is, like, how does that guy that's, like, so much smarter than me, and I think, like, I would, I know we're not supposed to say, like, this guy's a better Christian than that person is. I look at you and think, that guy's a better Christian than me, but he sounds just like me. What the heck?
Yeah, because, well, the dirty secret is I'm not. I'm worse. Trust me. I'm with myself all day.
The same.
Yeah, right. But again, so Colossians 3 says we want the word of God to dwell in us richly. So how do we do that? So, and I wanted to add this part for me because I wanted to remind myself that when I get up in the morning and I'm opening the Bible, this is a time of worship. I mean, one thing I think you do really well when you talk about your, I'm pointing at Brandon, for those of you that aren't on YouTube, is that shout out YouTube, check us out online if you want to see us there, if you want to see our four of the dopest mugs you've ever seen.
Da-bing. I'm going to put it above your head.
Not coffee mugs. We don't have anything. We got no merch.
Yeah, no merch. Merch forthcoming. But one thing that I think you do really well in your personal devotion is I would say that the stuff you talk about sounds more worshipful than what I do. What I do is read and pray, and sometimes it's just that. And I'd like it to be better than that. So I tell some of the – tell us, good friend, Brandon. Give me
hello,
back my – go ahead. Tell me something about what you do in your time with the Lord when you're alone that you feel is particularly helpful.
Okay. Well, this is all new for me.
That I'm putting on the spot? Or...
No. No, like in the last year.
Would you say you didn't do something like this before a year?
No.
Okay. But a lot of people don't.
But I saw a need that I was like, well, my life, my spiritual life, is chaotic and it's everywhere and it's not a priority. So I was like, and I want it to be a priority because anytime I veer away from God and do my own thing, it always sucks. So what I've incorporated into my daily, we'll say worship or daily, we'll call it in Christianese, like quiet time. I've added in time in the Word, so I'll read a couple verses, and then I'll just ponder, in more like just more in the contemplative act of prayer, and just be like, God, show me Your glory, and speak to me, and show me where I need to improve. And show me how to love You better and more authentically. And then I've added in, we do the prayer app. I read that most of the time. Mm-hmm. Then I have a different one, which is a longer.
I don't do the prayer app anymore. Yeah. I was just like feeling shame.
Like I do it sometimes. I don't do it as often as I normally do.
I still have it on my phone.
Yeah, and I see it. I'm like, oh, prayer. Okay. But I also added in one that's more of a daily office. It's a little longer. It's a little bit more guided. So that's mostly what I do with my quiet time. And then I've found that I don't read as many like Christian books outside of the Bible, because I'm finding more like life in the Bible, which is good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to know what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. So I've, and then, yeah. But more or less, it's just trying to soak my life with the Bible. But that's what I want. Like, I want every part of who I am to, like, always be, like looking for more from the Word. And depending on the Word more than other commentary, I guess. Which I'm not bashing good biblical commentary, because that's really.
I feel like good biblical commentary is necessary in a lot of senses, especially when you're preparing a sermon.
Yeah, and I don't preach.
Same.
Or whatever. Granted, a lot of times I prep these, so obviously there's a lot of different commentaries and all that, but it's. I've just found like I want the Word to be the center of all the other stuff.
Some guys get into reading a commentary before they even read the passage, and that I think is
really
unhealthy. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day when I first started teaching Bible studies, and like if I was in a hustle to be like, I got youth group tomorrow night, I got to teach. I hadn't even started. I just jammed the commentary. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes and then you just like go. So wow. And that's not a healthy way to. Because you're not being saturated by the word first.
Yeah, I think a couple times a week I do like a guided, like, not to freak anyone out, but I do like a guided, like, biblically centered, like, meditative time, like a 5 minute. I do like a couple times a week just to kind of like quiet my mind, because my mind is restless and I think about a lot of stuff. I think about a lot of different aspects of life or like things I want to do. But I know there's time that I just need to be quiet in my mind, and it helps me to become quiet so I can just kind of think more on God. And it's just, and it's little, it's, they're like little small tracks that have like a Bible verse that's guided with it, and I just, that's what I've found. I've added that into like my rhythm or my rule, because it just helps. It helps me a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So yeah, biblical, like, so I center my life around the word. I'm intentionally trying to like do different things for my prayer life instead of just saying things. I like do guided prayer, because that helps. I think that helps me a little bit more, because sometimes I'm like, well, what am I supposed to say? Like, it doesn't sound eloquent enough, but I don't think it has to. You know, I think John MacArthur said it once, that he's like, you don't have to say God 17 times in your prayer. He's heard it once. He knows what you're saying.
He knows who he is.
Yeah, he knows who you're
talking to. So he's talking to me.
So I'm like, okay. But so anytime I hear someone pray and I hear all that, I'm like, it's in my head. I know what you're doing. I know what I'm not going to say nothing.
I know a guy.
But
anything else that needs to be added about this stuff, boys?
Boys.
No, nothing else can be said.
I don't think so.
Okay,
think so.
Well, let's go around the table or around the horn for those of you.
There
that,
we go.
There it is.
It's been a hot minute since I've heard that.
I want to end this episode with pulling back the curtain and telling everybody what is the easiest way and the hardest way it is for each of us to worship God in the categories that we looked at tonight. And because I'm the host, I'm the step-in host this time.
Step-in.
I'm going last. Say what?
Bryce is first.
I'm first? Okay, easiest way. Are you talking about the four things that we just did?
Just any of them, yeah. I mean, like, so we'll say personal quiet time devotion, work, family devotion, corporeal worship, whatever you want to say, whatever's the easiest or hardest.
Corporate worship is the easiest by far.
Okay.
Easiest. Hardest.
Would you also say that it's the most worshipful for you as well? Like, do you feel nearest to God when you are...
No, okay. I take it back. Actually, okay. I take it back. Corporate's the hardest for me.
Okay.
Because I am so musically minded that I am distracted by everything if it doesn't fall in line with the way I want it to go.
Mm.
And that's not the most important part, though I do have a very strong belief that we need to strive to be a better musician so it's not distracting for worship. Sure. But it's not the most important thing. So that is probably the hardest for me. Easiest is probably work, just because of where I work. Mm. It's a weird aspect because it is super liberal everywhere else on campus. But in our department it's just a bunch of Christians, which is really cool. We have different views and certain things, which is most of our discussion. So which is makes it really cool. We get to talk about the Bible all the time.
Nice. Brandon.
Me?
Okay. Yeah.
I think I have to put these two together, but work and alone, because that's what I'm alone, is at work.
Mm. So is that the easiest or the hardest?
That's the easiest for me. Just because that's time I can focus in on without any kind of distraction. Corporate is hardest for me for pretty much the same reasons as Bryce would say. But I'm also very cynical about corporate worship as well.
I'm cynical
because
as well.
I've grown up in it my whole
entire life. We're totally going to tackle this topic, and I'm going to continue to be the host because I'm going to rip it out of both of you.
Yeah. Are you?
I want to find out. I got questions.
No, like,
you got questions. I got questions.
I've
got answers.
If any of you didn't know, I'm a pastor's kid,
PK,
and I've grown up in it, and I hated it for a really long time.
But like you came out of the box like also leading worship too, right? It's You've true. Done it a long yeah. time. Or you yeah. did it a long
Dude,
time.
I've been playing in, yeah. on the worship team since I was what, sixth
you
grade?
Were 14 or 13 yeah. or
No,
like
I
that.
Was in middle school.
Well, I mean you're held back.
I graduated at 17.
Yeah, okay, likely story. From public school.
Yeah.
Got him.
No, I think
in Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah, I say nah, I grew up. I started like we started our worship team
yeah.
at my grandpa's church. Like there was none before we showed up.
Mm.
So I've been doing around 13 or 14
yeah.
years old.
Yeah, it's been
nonstop
a long time.
Yeah. until 2020.
Yeah. Until 2020, like, I was about
yeah.
No, that's not even true for me.
Yeah,
2021.
Yeah, so it was like
that's when it stopped for me.
So it was. Yeah,
I shouldn't say stopped. Stop is the wrong word.
Yeah. But whatever you would call that.
Slow down.
Step back.
I took a hot break and said, I'm out of here.
Goodbye.
See you.
Interesting. Andrew. No.
Yeah. All right. I think that I could put corporate worship and work together as the easy ones for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could put family and alone yeah. as the difficult ones for me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm really good at like putting in more effort when there's people around me.
Mm.
And I am very, sure. very undisciplined when I'm by myself mm. or when it's just us at home. Like, so I think that, especially corporate worship, I still have a love for it.
Mm.
I don't know how I managed to like come out of about as many years as you. I don't know. You've probably been doing it longer than I have, but.
Mm.
We've
all been probably doing it
yeah,
the same amount.
I've been 16. I've done a lot of different
I was 16 when I started. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just still have a love for it and a calling for it that has not, I don't know, just hasn't been jaded or hasn't died down. Yeah. I've just been blessed in that way. Supernaturally, I'm sure. Like, that's not
oh, yeah.
anything in here. I think
yeah,
because
you've gone through some, I mean, we've gone through some of the same experiences. So yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
But that's the Lord.
But yeah, sure. I just love it, and so that one is just so easy because I think that it just feels natural and, mm-hmm. and good.
Yeah.
And then at work is easy because there's people there that I can, you know, if my coworkers are putting in an effort, it is much easier for me to try and put in the same or more effort, and to do, you know, the same kind of work or better. And then when it's just me and Brittany. We kind of enable each other to just kind of be lazy sometimes, and probably more me than her. I'm the negative influence in that. But and then when I'm by myself, it's just so difficult to do anything. I just don't feel pushed, and because I am a creature of peer pressure, I guess I don't know. But
so if I peer pressured you to do something, would you do it?
Yes, probably.
Not Bryce.
We're not peers.
Got him. So good.
He doesn't even like me.
I don't know. He loves you. Whoa.
I mean, we're family. I kind of have
that's
to.
That's why.
Yeah. It's built in.
Baked into the cake.
Baked.
I am nice. Hurt.
How about you?
Me? We were family before you, I married your sister.
That's true.
That's true. Mm. You guys lived in the same house.
That's also true.
And I
stayed there
a lot. I squatted there for a while.
I just had a flash. Of a great idea.
Oh, no.
And it's going to be later, but we need to start doing interviews. I want to interview each of you guys about your life.
My gosh.
I think it'll be incredible. So good. Okay, we're going to come back to that.
Okay. Terrifying.
You know, easiest for me, I would put, you know, the what we'd call like a quiet time and corporate worship. I mean, I just love the word, and I don't have that as a problem. The hardest for me, I think, would be work. It's always been work. Growing up, everybody used to call me a dreamer. Like, I just had these big dreams of what I was going to do for a living, and it was just such an idol to be wanting to be something or somebody, whatever in whatever I was doing. And so that was a big thing. So work has always kind of been that for me. So I'd say that's the hardest place for me to. Give God the glory and not be curmudgeonly, but anything that's more word-based, like corporate worship or quiet time would be easier. So,
did you want to be in the NBA when you grew up?
Growing up, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. Oh. And then in my 20s, I wanted to be a millionaire.
Mm.
And that's so why didn't you become a professional baseball player?
These are stories for another time.
Because you could have succeeded at both of those goals if you would have just...
That's true.
It's well, because he has six fingers on his left hand.
Get out of our camera.
They don't make gloves for that.
All you right.
Do this anyway.
Yeah, I did. That was, I mean, you know, sleight of hand is my jam. So, well, that's I think a good place to stop.
And that is.
Next
that's
week, good. Let's or next time we get together, let's talk more about worship and get more down to the brass tacks of both corporate worship services or maybe worshiping and suffering. We'll be back soon yes. with more on suffering. Anything we got before we go?
No, I'm just glad to be back.
It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't sleep much, right? We just haven't recorded in so long. I'm like, I don't care what it takes. I don't care how tired I am tomorrow. I'm glad to be back.
Mm-hmm. Don't listen to Caleb.
That's for next time.
That's what I got to tell you.
I'm just going to take that and just like...
Just
put why would you line? Say something so controversial yet so brave?
Find something else to listen to.
Caleb's not putting us on their podcast platform, that's for sure.
Spotify is free. You just have to use a few commercials and you're fine. Just listen to better stuff.
Yeah, there's other stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's been fun.
This has been great.
Good times.
Great times.
Thank you.
Also, yes. thank you, everybody, for listening
yeah.
to us.
We appreciate you.
If you would like to, and we would love it if you would, go to Apple Podcasts, rate us, leave comments. You can go to Spotify, do all that good stuff. We want to get out there desperately.
If you feel led at all, we also
oh, yeah,
do.
Yeah, we have now, Patreon.
We do have Patreon.
Patreon.
In addition to Patreon, I also signed up for Buy Me a Coffee. So
ooh, even better.
I don't
Tell
know
me
if
more
you,
about this.
So if you would like to donate
Death Wish
to anything that we do, that would be amazing.
We'd love
I've spent a lot of money, and my
which
and my wife would like some of it replenished.
Of course,
fair.
Eventually, it's my money. It's fine.
We love it.
No. It's been great. I'm grateful for the Lord blessing us so that we can do all of this. Mm-hmm. But if you would like to donate to us so that we can get the word out further, and
we will be your best friend.
Well,
I'll be your best friend. At a
these guys are my best.
I'd
friends.
I'd do a lunch.
I do.
I'll shake your hand.
We can
and then
see where it goes.
Yeah.
We can see where it goes.
Oh, okay. This has been fun.
It's the labels on it.
Is that one of the levels on our Patreon is like a blind date with one of the guys?
Wouldn't be blind for them. They know what we look like.
Yeah, it's blind for us.
Shout out Dave Ryder.
Friendship.
Dave Ryder.
Friendship Dave Ryder's date. Definitely doing it for a dollar or something. He's like, will. I want Brandon.
Okay.
If it's not what he sounds like.
If it's Dave, if it's Dave Ryder, I'll show up anytime.
Day or night.
Day or night.
Put out the bat signal.
I finally saw that video of Dave Ryder.
Oh, my goodness.
Bryce, does he not look like an older Cole
Mills? Yeah, he does.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. No, if you ever want to meet me,
no, I want Cole to
you'll have to go through my security.
Call my people,
which is my children.
I was gonna say, who is that?
And then you're gonna have to walk up the stairs to my office.
All right,
and I'll say,
so
go away. I need
a great
space.
Time.
I tell you, Gideon's got a mean backhand.
That's
true.
Elijah's always punching me.
Same.
Pow, yeah. Pow. Anyways,
wrap it up.
This has been Outsiders Podcast.
Look
thank
at the
you
camera.
For, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We enjoy on yeah. the menu, boys. What?
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.